grace are ye saved, not of what? Works. Not of self, lest any man should. It's the helmet of salvation, because the devil is trying to attack your mind and telling you you might as well give up. But the Bible says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He would like to build a stronghold in your life. And your stronghold may be something different from mine. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's finances. You know, I know, looking back over the years, that for me it's always finances, but they go in cycles. You'll have a year or two where everything is going great, and then you know that you can just see the waves coming in, and you know there's going to be a point where things collide. And I've seen that so many times. But you know what? I have seen him help me kill the lion, seen him help me kill the bear. So whatever Goliath it is, I'm not afraid of that, because I belong to him. The Bible said that we're accepted in the beloved. That means we belong to him. Nobody can come and take away what you have entrusted to God. He says, no man can pluck it out of my hand. So let's just look at some of these things. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, it's a good thing that I guess sometimes we can't see spiritually, because we'd be scared to death if we saw what was trailing us every day, if we saw the horde that was just looking for an in. And if we did that, though, we would see how easily we give them an opening in things that we do, things that we say. You know, I'm a news junkie, so I'm very tempted. I could listen to news all the time and just get frustrated listening to the news. You know, I study every little bit of news. And so it's very tempting when I jump in the car in the morning to put on the news. I just said, no, I'm not going to do that today. Not going to do that. I got my Bible, you know, that reads to me, and I put it on the Bluetooth, and I let it read to me all the way to work. And, you know, just a ministry came into my being, and I'm glad I had my dark glasses on, because I was crying, because the word just came to me. You know, we have to not give place to the devil. Shall I tell you, some of the best times I had with God was driving between here and Michigan for hours. Between 2005 and 2009, I used to drive 4 hours each way every week, and I would put on I remember one time I put on one song for the whole 2 hours, and I was singing that song over and over again just for the whole trip I was having church. And that's what we need to do. You know, we need to get closer, because we're in a warfare. We're in a warfare. In one of the churches said, the devil is going to put you in prison for 10 days. This is still his kingdom. And if we're not careful, he will want to lock us up and throw away the key. Remember what our theme is, an open door. We want to be the Philadelphian church. If you notice, if you read through the New Testament, they were always the church that was sacrificing. They were always supplying Paul's need. If you read it, he meant they were a sacrificial church, and so God took care of them. That was the key. The Laodicean church, they said, we're rich. We have no need of anything. We have no need of anything. And he says, no, you're not. You're naked, and you're poor and blind. When we get to the place sometimes that we are praying, God puts circumstances that sometimes drive us to our knees, because sometimes we wouldn't do anything else. He puts circumstances that make us want to pray, Lord, there's no way out now. You got to show up. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Every morning we got to remind ourselves that, because we think it's people and we get mad at people and situations. We should just take a deep breath and say, wait a minute, I see where this is coming. Satan, I see this little plot. You just want to take away my peace. I refuse to let you take away my joy. I refuse to let you get me down. Because he heard I said I don't get sick. He's trying to give me a cold. But I'm not sick enough yet. He's not going to win this battle. Amen. I still have not spent a day in hospital. And I'm not planning to. Amen. Because I know who my real enemy is. It's not that person who is coming against you. It's the spirit that's behind them. The spirit that's behind them. And sometimes he uses our own fear. Genesis 3:1, fear and doubt. Genesis 3:1, he says, yea, hath God said? Hath God said? Has he said he's going to look after you, that he'd never leave you? Do you really believe that? You know, look at your situation, what a mess it is in. You wouldn't have had an accident if God was with you. That's what the devil will tell you. You know, coming to church, driving the church bus, I'm not supposed to have an accident. And you know, I was upset at the time when it happened, and it was my fault. It was my fault. I was upset because I was coming to pick up someone, and at the last minute they said they weren't there, and I just turned. I said, okay, I'm late anyway, let's turn right. And I did not look on my right. But you know what? It could have been so much worse. When I thought about it, it could have been so much worse. It could have been so, so much worse. Thank you, Jesus. He just was waking me up, making me pray. You know, so, and the guy was ready to fight too when he got out. I said, it's okay. I'm not running away. I just have to pull out of the traffic. And he calmed down, and I gave him a card. I invited him to church. He said, pray for me when I left. Pray for me is what he said when I left. You know, and I said, it's okay. We will take care of it. Whatever it is, we're going to take care of it. And I said that by faith. I didn't know what it would. So he called me today and texted me. I told him, get two quotes, and said, because I didn't want to turn it in on the church insurance, because that's just going to, so we're just going to have to, since it's my fault, going to just have to take care of it. But you know what? I witnessed to him. I used that as a witnessing thing. I gave him a card, and I told him, he says, well, in the end, he calmed down. He realized I wasn't going to drive off or anything, and I said, we're going to take care of it. So you come to church, and finally he said, pray for me. See, God can turn a negative situation into a positive situation. What the devil wants us to do is to be afraid. Look at this, Genesis 3:10. And I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I don't know if you remember the Bible study I taught many years ago. It said, who told you you were naked? Isn't that what God asked? Who told you you were naked? See, we are naked before God anyway. It wasn't because we were naked that she had to hide. It was her guilt and what Satan had done to her. See, the weapons that Satan will put on you sometimes is sickness. Job chapter 2, verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. The first time I think I really got bothered about someone getting sick was my first pastor in Michigan. Up to then, I really had lived a pretty, I'd say, charmed life. I really didn't have anyone close to me that I had that gotten sick and died. I really hadn't for till I was what? That was 86, I think. So till I was 30 something, I hadn't really had anyone really close to me that had died. And when he got sick, he was the former pastor of the church, and he got this. It was a blood cancer, which is extremely painful. It's everywhere. You know, and I couldn't understand it. I said, and I really had to seek God and really try and understand what was going on about why this would happen. And we always sometimes are looking for a reason. But remember when Jesus and his disciples came across this man that had been blind from birth, and they said, was it this man's sin or his parents' sin that this happened? Jesus said, no, no. He also explained in the book of Luke about a tower that had fallen on some people. You know, and they said, were these people worse than any other? No, no. But we have to understand that this is a corrupted world. And sin is in the world. And what happens from sin is all kinds of things. Diseases, crime, hatred, emulations, all the things that you see in the Bible. And it smote Job with sore boils. Satan, if he had his way, would want to kill us. We have to remember that. Philippians 2:27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. This was Paul's friend. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So one of the enemy's weapons is sickness. That's one of his weapons, because sickness will bring doubt. That's what sickness does. You begin to doubt because you're praying and you don't see it happen right away. But, you know, the Bible says the earnest, fervent prayer. And I don't know who it was who said it, but two times Elijah prayed. The first time he prayed that it should not rain, and it didn't rain right away. The second time he prayed that it should rain. And it didn't start raining right away. He had to pray several times. Which one of those do you think the Bible called earnest and fervent? All right, go look it up. See who can find it. Homework. The other enemy is our own flesh. Our own flesh will fight us. I don't feel like fasting. I don't feel like, you know, coming to church on a Tuesday night when it's wet and outside and a little bit cool. James 1:13 explains it. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. How do we overcome temptation of the flesh? Lots of good answers. We have to, but how do we resist the devil? How do we submit to God? All right. See, yes, you know, I could have had a really bad day, but I decided I would change the day by starting my day by meditating on the Word of God. Just listening to the last part of John and the first part of Acts I was listening to on my way to work. And that changed my day. Because I could tell it was getting set up to be a disaster. I could tell that. I could tell the devil was trying to, you know, bring some things. I'm in the portion of what I'm doing where I'm under quite a bit of scrutiny. Let's just put it that way. And I know that the devil would like to see me fail, but you know what? He isn't going to see that. Because I know who holds my hand. Amen. And he's done it so many times before. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And it's in one sense, it's easy to defeat the devil if you just follow the rules. God has already told you. It's not that hard. We make it hard. We make it hard. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. We make life for ourselves hard by some of the things we do. Let's look at some of the spiritual weapons. Of course, prayer. Here it is. Here's the scripture that I told you about. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Okay, you were right. It's the first time he prayed. All he prayed was a simple prayer. The Bible calls that an earnest and fervent prayer. The time at the end when he prayed long and many times, that wasn't called a fervent and earnest prayer. So it's not necessarily the amount of time you pray, but it's how you pray and with the faith behind it. The one of the two that James mentions here is that he prayed for it not to rain by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You know, but it's when we pray with faith believing. And then there's prayer that's just worshiping, where you're not asking for anything. We're just thanking God. I thank God. I try and thank God all the time. I try and really put into practice what I'm telling you, that most of my prayer should be thanksgiving. Lord, man, I'm so grateful. I don't deserve anything I've got. I really don't. I have been blessed. My worst day, I'm still better than 1,000 people. You are still better than 1,000 people. Did you know that? Your worst day. There's people in this world who would swap with you just like that. So when we wake up, no matter what we're facing, thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. That's how you start to dispel the odor of the devil. You start to spray some praise. You start to spray some off praise. Get those spiritual mosquitoes out of your thinking. Right? That is prayer. Just start to thank God and lift up his name. You may not know how the day is going to end, but I just started to thank, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your covering. Lord, bless the work of my hands. I don't know what I'm doing, but you opened my understanding. And miracle, he does. He does. Amen. So we see if God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. Amen. God will bring you through it. That's what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, it's not that he doesn't know it, but what we're doing is submitting our dominion. We're saying, Lord, I can't handle it. And I can't handle it. I can't handle it. But you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And when you have that attitude, when you have that attitude of just submitting it to God and you're resting upon him and you're letting him take the load, you know, it's like a little kid, and I've said this illustration many times, you know, they're fighting to try and lift something that you know they can't lift. And you try, and they say, they're fighting you, I can do it, I can do it. And it's only after they've wasted about, you know, 10 minutes and finally given up, and you just go and you open it for them. That's God dealing with us. That's what he would like to do. That's what he'd like to do, but most of the time, we're so fighting him. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. This is the same thing, but in a modern translation. Instead of worry, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Have you thanked God for past victories? Even if it was 10 years ago, you should think about something he did 10 years ago. And just bring it up. You know, the word for meditation is, I've been told, it's the same as for the word where cows chew. You know, they take it up and they eat it again. I know it sounds gross, but that's what we need to do with God's word. Eat it again. Man, I was encouraged Sunday. I'm going to eat that again. I'm going to eat that word again. Get every little bit, last bit of nourishment, spiritual nourishment out of that word. Eat it again. Listen, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, peace that passeth human understanding. I've told you the story several times, and I think most of you have heard it, but as I said, when we had the fire and my wife was coming down the road, she was smiling. And the neighbor saw her smiling, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, she's going to think we started the fire. And he pointed it out. He said, your wife is smiling. The house is burning up. Her brand new car is burning up. Everything is burning up. And we don't have anywhere to live. And they're going to think we started this fire. That's the only conclusion anyone can come to. And I said, oh, no, Lord, please. I wish she wasn't smiling right now. I wish she wasn't smiling right now because they're going to think we did this house on purpose. You know what? I learned through that. Actually, it was something that happened. It was actually the month before that, in 2004, I had my little Damascus Road experience. Maybe I wouldn't have been able to handle it, but God had already dealt with me. And so when this happened, I was just able to look at it and say, okay, well, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. The insurance guy came and he said, it's going to cost you a lot more to fix this house than you have. You are underinsured. We'll give you all you're insured for, but it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough to fix the house because you should have had more insurance. Well, very good telling me that now. And it was the truth. What the insurance gave was not enough to cover it. But you all saw the house that God helped us to rebuild. And that's just God's mercy and his grace. Because I think there's a newspaper clipping where I told the reporter, I said, all things work together, right? I quoted Romans 8 and they put it in the newspaper. I think Christopher took a clipping of it and preserved it somewhere. But it wasn't anything because of my goodness. It was just God's mercy and his grace. And because of that, I was able to leave that house. We only really spent about a year enjoying in that brand new house because from that point on, we were up here living next door. Amen. Without a kitchen and just studs. You all, some of you was in there and saw it. But you know, that means nothing because no matter what you have sacrificed for God, he can give you much, much more. Much more. Much more. Amen. Spiritual weapons prayer. When I get troubled, that's what I do. I pray. Lord, And I'm secretive too. We pray together, but I also pray a lot apart, and so does she. If I wake up at 5 o'clock, I don't see. I know she's praying. She's gone into the next bathroom. I don't worry too much because she's praying. My secret closet is my car. I get in there and I put on my dark glasses and I pray. But that's our weapon. That's our weapon. If you don't pray enough, the devil's going to beat you up. Let me show you. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about this time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So which feast was it? Passover. So you know what this was? About a year since Jesus had been crucified, right? They were still at Jerusalem. This is about a year after the resurrection. And he apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to four quartinions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, Passover, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But, let's say but, prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing. I don't know how they did it. Maybe they did it in shifts of the church unto God for him. And you know, Peter must just have had a faith. Well, I've done whatever I'm supposed to do. Maybe he thought this was when he gets to go home because he was asleep, even though he was facing execution. He was asleep because the angel had a hard time waking him up. But our greatest weapon is prayer and submitting to God and communication with God. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. I just love to hear, Sister Johnny, that you called my wife, and even though you weren't together, you could pray with power over the phone. That's how it should be. We should pray one for another. You know, many times during the day I get texts from different ones. Pray for me. And if it's at all possible, I drop what I'm doing and I go and pray. That's what we're called to do, to pray for one another. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what we're called. The church prayed for Peter. And the angel came and all the doors were opened. And he thought he was dreaming. It wasn't until he was way outside the prison that he said, wait a minute, this must be real. I can imagine him pinching himself and thought, wow, this is real. Because he had been sound asleep. So the next thing we need after prayer is we need a shield. And that shield is faith. Once you've prayed, believe that God is going to do something. Yes, yes, yes. Believe that God is going to do something. You know, I told you the story, and sometimes I have to remind myself. I think there was one Sunday several years ago before the first boiler went out that it kind of went out one Sunday morning. I think it was Sister Johnny called me, or was it you? Called me, and we were in Michigan, and we were on our way back, and it was freezing, and the boiler, again, was no heat in the church. And I said, oh, no, we're going to have to call emergency heating to come out. And it's going to be $250 just for the 15 minutes. Yeah, so they came, and he got it fixed in 15 minutes. And I was thinking, well, you know, we didn't have a lot of people or money. And as I came in the church, this lady came in and gave me a check. And she said, I made a pledge to the church 30 years ago. 30 years ago. 30 years ago, and I was still, you know, in my carnal self. I said, oh, well, it's $5, $50, you know, that's not going to do much. And it was, and she disappeared. I don't even know who she is anymore. We tried to figure out who it was. She came, and she dropped off on that very day. And after church, when I looked at the check, it was $500. It was twice what we need. Imagine, after 30 years, that's why I preached that message about a raven. You can be in a famine and God can take a raven to feed you and to keep you going no matter what's happening. God can take a raven. And you know, that was supposedly an unclean bird, but God can use any means to keep you if you're his child, Sister Audrey.
I was just wondering if you could tell the story too, when how Genesis, how they came three times to fix up the church and you were like, oh no, and how they, I like hearing those stories again, I'm sorry.
Well, it's good. It's good. Well, you know, they wanted to rent the place, and I don't know if you guys remembered what it used to look like. It used to look like before they came and fixed everything, but, you know, we didn't want to rent to anyone because they weren't, you know, oneness particularly, and I kept on saying no, but they were persistent, and they came and they wanted us to come out to eat with them, and they said, they explained a little bit better what they wanted to do. They said they wanted to do child help mothers, single mothers in the evening. I thought, you know what, that's a good thing, and we can't do that. So I said, okay, you guys can use it, but you can't use it on a Sunday, because we got that, and you can't use it on a Tuesday or Thursday. I said, that's fine. We use it on a Saturday, and whatever other hours you're not using it, we'll use it. And then they said, oh, how much are you going to charge? And I said, well, I'm not going to charge you anything, just whatever the increase in the gas or the electricity. And then they started paying us the whole bill, really, $900 a month. They did that for, I think, 4 years before they dropped it down to $500. But for and then, of course, they came and they painted. True. They painted the whole place, put in all the downstairs, took out the asbestos tiling, brought in all the seats, put in all the carpet. See what God can do? When he decides to do something, there's no stopping it. There's no stopping God's will and power. And there's so many, many other great testimonies that God has done to preserve this church. You know, I don't know if you remember the Sunday we were coming back from Michigan, and we were supposed to go to Parkway, and we weren't going to, most of it, we were tired and we didn't really want to go. We didn't want to go. And I think five of us ended up going. The rest of everyone went home. And then Brother Putnam, I think, called us out and said, well, there's a church in downtown Milwaukee that, you know, they're in problems. Their heating has gone out, and they need about $7,000 at least. Yeah, because he had asked me, and I didn't know how much it was going to cost. I just pulled a figure out of my head. So he took that figure, and that's what he raised an offering, and they gave us $7,000. And that was enough to at least start to get us a little bit of heat. You see, so when God has got a plan, yes, the devil is going to fight, but he can never, ever win. Amen. He may be able to do some damage, just like he did with Job, but in the end, God turned the captivity of Job. Amen. God turned the captivity of Job. And what it comes down to is faith. Luke 22:31. Here's where we all are. This is where the rubber meets the road. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to throw you up and let the wind blow you away, to give up, to not really be grounded and rooted. But I have prayed for thee. You know, and many times when I read this, I used to think, well, that's not, what, why don't you just stop him? Why don't stop? No, that's not what Jesus said. I've prayed that your faith fail not. Because Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have what? Right. He's not taking us out this world. So we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have temptations. We're going to have things, negative things happen to us. We're going to have car accidents. We're going to have sickness. The devil will throw all these things at us. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So even though when I'm sick, Lord, I still believe you're good. Even though my child is dying, yes, I believe you're faithful. Even though I can't see how I'm going to pay this bill, Jesus, I know you're going to do it. Amen. He has never failed me. Never. Never, never, never. If I start telling you all the miracles that he has done for me, I'm embarrassed by most of them. That's why I haven't told you half of them, to be honest with you. I haven't told you half of them because going all the way back to a teenager, God has just delivered me. So I have no excuse for being faithless. You, if you think about it, have no excuse. God has done miracles for you. Amen. I just love your testimony, Sister Johnny. God has done it again. Is that what you said? He's done it again. He's done it again. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, it's very good that Jesus said that. You know why? You know what happened? You know why he said that? Just a little bit before that, Peter said, I'm going to die for you. Jesus said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. But verse 32 is very important because I think it was the key to Peter not giving up. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art what? The Bible says he went out weeping because he remembered what Jesus had said after he had denied him. But you know what I also believe he remembered? When thou art converted. Because Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. He knew that ahead of time. But he still added, you're going to be still used by me. Do you see that? When thou art converted. Even though you did deny me. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I think that is what he remembered and based some of his faith upon. Because he could have just given up and said, well, I'm a failure. He prophesied and it came to pass. Look at this, Romans 10:7. And that's the reason why we come to church. And a lot of people miss out on getting strength because they miss so much church. They miss so much word. So then faith cometh by hearing. See, those who were not here tonight never heard the prophecy. Never heard that prophecy. And I think that was for me, so I'm going to take that. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. The reason why he gave prophets was to exhort, to encourage, to uplift. That's why, really, when someone gets up behind here, and you know, I've been letting a lot of other people besides me, and I encourage that. I'd rather you have something encouraging to say. Leave all the damnation to the pastor, please. Leave all the hell and damnation to me. I'd rather you come up here, and if you don't have a good word, then, all right, Sister Mary, you said it. You know, the gospel is what? Good news. And it is the power of God unto salvation. So if you're not up here speaking the gospel message, you're not telling any good news. You're not telling any good news. So I would prefer, you know, unless the Holy Spirit tells you that, because sometimes the Holy Spirit can speak to lots of other people than me. But as a general thing, I'd rather when people get up here that they have something encouraging, not saying about how bad everybody is. We all know that. I know I'm bad. I know I'm not perfect. You know you're not perfect? Okay. So the Bible says that they exhorted. That means they encouraged. They encouraged. Not to say, well, you're a failure. You messed up. I know that. Right? We need to exhort one another and lift one another up. Amen. Then the next spiritual weapon is thanksgiving. Paul knew about that. Thessalonians 5:18. In everything. Ooh, that's a hard one. In everything, give thanks. You mean when I'm sick, I can give thanks? God is doing something. It's not he that brought the sickness, but he can use it. It's like my accident. Maybe that man will come to church. He said he was going to. He said he was going to. I gave him a card. In fact, he is coming to church. He's coming to church Thursday. Collect a payment. But he may come to church. He told me to pray for him, and I'm praying for him. So God can take the worst negative situation and use it for his glory. If we're aware of that, if we jump and seize the moment, if we make ourselves available to him, in everything, give thanks. Why? Because it's God's will. Look at that. It's God's will. Jesus gave thanks when he only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 5,000 people. The secret to the miracle was, the Bible says that he gave thanks. Lord, I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but thank you. I could have 4 loaves and 1 fish. Or 3 loaves. I've got 5 loaves. He wasn't looking at the size of the crowd. He was looking at the blessing of God. Well, Lord, I've only got $10.93 in the account. Hey, but that will buy a Burger King sandwich. Thank you, Jesus. Two. She said two. Okay, double. Double. Daily double. You know what? I think that was why Elijah came to the widow woman. She said, you know what? I'm going to make a big cake with what the last piece of flour and oil, and we're going to have some fun, even if that's the last piece we have. Isn't God good? I think God saw her faith and said, you know what? I'm going to keep replenishing that. And not only that, when the prophet came, he said, you make one for me first. You give it to me first. Well, like, who are you? Do I know you? Do I know you? Don't you understand I was just making this for me and my son and then we were going to die? Do I know you? See, God honors faith and he honors thanksgiving and he honors prayer. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Amen. That's God's will, that we give thanks in everything. Well, I just had an accident. All right, let me confess. I wasn't in a thanksgiving mood when I first crunched this guy's vehicle. But you know what? He's looking at me and knows I'm driving a church bus, right? So I can come out there cussing and swinging. I can drive off and say, well, he can't see me. I'm going to go. No. I had to set an example and say, sorry, it was my fault. We're going to fix it. Here's a card. Can we invite you to church? And that just completely disarmed him. He said, pray for me. Pray for me. See, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Be careful for nothing, Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, we need to get our spiritual shield on. You like that? And the thing that we have to do to be strong is we have to separate ourselves from stuff that's going to drag us down. We need to put on our spiritual hazmat suit. That's what that is. You know, when they call people to deal with dangerous chemicals, they have to put on a hazmat suit because if they get on your skin, you know, when we were building this, there's some fiberglass stuff, and I've had experience with that, and I hate it. So every time they picked it up, I kept on saying, oh, that stuff is dangerous. You better not touch that. Sin is dangerous. Satan is dangerous. We need to have our spiritual separation suit on. That's what they call it, a hazmat suit. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. We can't be involved in everything the world does. We cannot. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you. We want God's blessing, but we still want to mess around with the world. You can't have it both ways. It's when we separate ourselves, then he will bless us. You know, we put it all on God, but there are some things for us to do. We have to take a step away from some of the things that are going to entangle us. That's what the scripture says. If you're going to be in warfare, you have to put away the things that entangle you. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. You got to put on the spiritual hazmat suit. Helmet of salvation, right? Shield of faith. Breastplate of righteousness, having your loins girt about with truth. And having your feet, what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. That means wherever your feet take, you should be peaceful. Amen. Now, sometimes you can't help it. Someone is just going to be attacking you. I understand that, but we shouldn't be the ones trying to attack other people. And I know this guy, he came out saying, blah, 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 blah. He was upset, blah, 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 blah. I said, it's okay. Nobody's hurt. It's going to be okay. We're going to take care of it. And then he calmed right down. Amen. But I knew the devil wanted to get me. I just knew it. See, if we will just relax, God will fight our battle for us. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. 2 Chronicles 20:17. He shall not need to fight in this battle. It's when we try and fight is when we lose. But when we step back and say, Lord, you take this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. That's what we got to do. We're not fighting this battle on our own. Did you know that? The Bible said after Satan left him, angels came and ministered to him. Angels came and served Jesus. That's what it's really saying. Angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. We have to use the word of God. It is written. Revelation 9:11, and I saw heaven open, and there, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called what? The Word of God. That is our most powerful weapon when it is handled right. Now, you can give a sword to someone and they don't know what they're doing. They'll cut themselves up, right? But if you are a trained swordsman, then you can defend yourself. And his name is called. I have been trying very much not to say negative things about myself. Because I tend to do that. I tend to say a lot of negative things. And I think it was Andrew Womack said, you can have thoughts in your head, but they get power when you say them. Because the Bible says what you say, what comes out of your mouth defiles you. So you can have temptations and you can have things, but don't give voice to them. Don't say them out. In fact, speak against that thing that's in your head. That's how you deal with it. Because there is nothing more powerful than the Word of God. The Bible says, by it we understand that the things that do appear were not made, the things that do appear were not made of things seen. But God spoke them into existence just by His Word. It's the most powerful thing. Nearly every single healing that Jesus did, He spoke it. That's how it happened. Thy sins be forgiven. Arise, be healed. He just spoke it and it happened because he had authority. He had two things actually. There's two things you need is authority and power. Because there's some people who try to do the same thing and they didn't have that and the demons jumped on them. So you can say Jesus, but if you don't have the authority and power, the devils know that. Amen. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him, white horses clothed in linen, white and clean. And then, of course, is our leader. We're not fighting this alone. We have a leader. Listen to this, John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world he shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm telling you this. I am sick of the world. Jesus could come now and I'd be happy. I really would. I mean, what would there be that I want? I can't think of anything I want. The only thing I want would be to be a better servant, to win more people. But other than that, even now, come Lord Jesus. I'm tired of this world and all the mess and all the stuff. I'm waiting for Jesus to come and set it straight. John 1:14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me, we're going to finish just a little bit early tonight because we do have a meeting afterwards. But I just want you to be encouraged and be aware that we are in a fight. You can't see your enemy by natural eyes, but he's there. And he's trying to sap your strength, take away your faith, depress you, and bring you down. But we're not helpless. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of it. And many times when I see things, I just say, okay, I see. The devil is trying to do something here. I'm not going to let him. I'm not going to let him. I'm going to give God the glory. I'm not going to let him drag me down. I'm not going to let him drag me down because I've come too far. This is going to pass too. Amen. Not going to let him. Because he heard me say I don't get sick. He's trying to make me sick. But I refuse that. Amen. And I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pray and close our Bible study. I hope you've been encouraged. Be encouraged because there's more on our side than on the other side. Not only that, our leader has defeated him several times now. He has helped us defeat him several times. But just like with Jesus, the Bible said he went away for a season. He's always coming back to try and find a different angle to get you and to take away your peace, to destroy relationships if he can. But God is so merciful. The Bible says he is rich, rich in mercy. I don't know what that means, rich in mercy. I don't know how to put that into it, but it says God is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. And I know he loves us because he came and he died. He said, I would that none be lost, none. So it's his will that you go to heaven. All we need to do now is to walk according to his word. Put on the hazmat suit before you go out in the morning. Give a praise prayer before you leave your house. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to face today, but I know you're going to be with me. Hallelujah. And David ended it up by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we just thank you right now for your mercy and your grace, for your love and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us tonight. Help our faith to rise. Hallelujah. Even as the enemy